Thank you very much. Do you hear me?
Yeah, works well. Thank you for your kind words. Also the very good pronunciation of this funny name we have. I always console myself that after this merger, we're looking for a new name. So hopefully this Finsbury Glover Hering, which doesn't work really worldwide, will come to an end very soon. And thank you also to Brian for setting up a conference like this. It's really a huge pleasure to be here and to meet human beings again after 3 years of just virtual encounters. So thank you for that, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to shed some light on German speech culture and a little bit on what we do in the German Speechwriter Association. Also, thank you for the nice background here. I mean, I said before that I won't show any slides. Now I have a slide here, and I feel kind of relieved that there are at least three German words on it. Yeah, tennis, slapstick, and dilemma. It's more or less the same in Germany. And if we look at German business language, I would count even three more: journey, customer journey, and so on. It's also a new German word now, power and network. So in business, you have lots of English words which are treated as German words. So thank you for this background. Well, fellow speechwriters from all over Europe and beyond, to stand here in front of you and speak to you is a great honor, but at the same time, a downright frightening experience. Because when do I ever stand at the lectern or on the stage myself? It's usually others I prepare for it. And when do I speak to an audience that has a lot of experience ahead of me, to speechwriters who have written speeches for no one less than the Secretary of Defense of Norway, EU commissioners, the Prime Minister of Canada, and the God of all orators, Obama? And when do I ever speak in a place like this, where great personalities have raised their voices, like the mathematician John Wallis, who invented the infinity symbol, or John Harvard, namesake of Harvard University, or Graham Chapman, the co-founder of Monty Python? And then there's something else. You are American, British, French, Dutch. You are from countries that are considered to have a high level of eloquence, at least in comparison to Germany. Although I appear in the guise of an Irishman, I am German. And we Germans are not exactly famous for our oratory talent. Malicious tongues claim that the only German speaker of distinction was Hitler. Of course, it doesn't do justice to reality. Great speeches were made in Germany too, and not only by JFK and Reagan, also by Germans. And you just have to look a little closer, dig a little deeper, and listen a little harder to find them, because unfortunately, they are still the exception rather than the rule. What is the reason for this? Again, some would argue it's Hitler. Since we Germans have fallen prey to his rhetoric, which brought us and the world great disaster, we have since viewed all rhetoric with great suspicion. I don't think that's true, because when given the choice, also we Germans prefer to listen to a speech that entertains, that moves, or that even inspires. Perhaps it is because of the sound of language that many German language, the sound of our language, that many German language speeches resemble less Obama, yes, we can motivational speeches than instruction manuals or legal essays. Three guys are debating about which of their language is the most pleasing to the ear. The Spaniard says, consider the word for butterfly. In Spanish, it is pronounced mariposa, a beautiful sounding word. The Frenchman says, true, but the French word for butterfly, papillon, is even more beautiful. At that point, the German asks, what is wrong with Schmetterling? Whatever the reason may be, I can't hide the fact that after 16 years of Angela Merkel and a few months with our current Chancellor, Scholz, I keep wishing we had someone in our government like Boris Johnson. I mean, of course, only because of his rhetorical talent, not because of policy decisions, his governance style, or his remarkable sense of timing when it comes to parties in 10 Downing Street. In terms of speech culture, the Anglo-Saxons are quite a bit ahead of us Germans. What I particularly appreciate is your sense of humor. And that even when the occasion for the speech or the topic of the speech is a serious one. My English teacher in school used to say, a good joke is always appropriate, even if it's at a funeral. This sentence would never cross the lips of an average German. When we talk about a serious subject, we remain completely serious in content and in tone. I firmly believe that we Germans have some catching up to do. There's quite a bit to be done to improve our speech culture, and speechwriters play a decisive role in this. That was one of the reasons why Thilo von Trotha, former speechwriter to German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, founded the German Speechwriter Association in 1998. In the meantime, about 400 speechwriters from politics, business, and society are organized there. I'm one of them. I've been in the association for several years now. Since the beginning of this year, I'm also a member of the board. Of course, we offer a wide variety of services to our members, from ghostwriting portraits on our website to market their services, to job referrals, and to formats for networking and education. But how do we live up to our goal of improving the level of public speaking in Germany? Essentially by three approaches: training of future speakers, critical analysis of speakers of the present, and promotion of speech treasures of the past. Let me start with the first, training of future speakers. We initiated the Youth Speech Forum. It takes place every year in the State Parliament of Saxony, one of our 16 states in Germany. In plenary halls where members of the State Parliament normally debate laws, motions, and current social political issues, and given a detailed written evaluation of the rhetorical quality of their speeches. And there, by the way, we can also see that the level has been rising for years. The speakers are getting better and better, thanks to the competition we have initiated, but also, I have to admit, thanks to the Anglo-Saxon influence, be it via TED Talks or through colleagues from the UK and the US. Tim Höttges, the CEO of Deutsche Telekom and rhetorical superstar among Germany's leading companies, has also stepped up his game when he had to stand up to his US colleague and business rock star, John Ledger. This even goes so far that in his Christmas message to his employees in 2021, the Beethoven commemorative year in Germany, he showed himself wearing a Beethoven wig. Chief executive officer turns chief entertainment officer. Finally, the third approach, promoting great historical speeches. Last year, we launched the Megillah Project. This is our contribution to the celebratory year, 1,700 years of Jewish life in Germany. As part of the project, we present historical speeches dealing with Jewish life and suffering in Germany. As of today, we have published and commented on 14 speeches, more to follow. You see, we are quite an active association, an association that does a lot to advance speech culture in Germany. But we are German-speaking speechwriters among our own kind. Our horizon of experience will therefore always be limited. I am convinced if we want to advance speech culture in Germany, we need to network with speechwriters from other countries and cultures. That's why I'm extremely grateful for the European Speechwriter Network and for a conference like this. Because where else do you find such a diverse lineup of talented speakers and speechwriters who come together to learn, to share knowledge, and to exchange ideas? I look very much forward to further interaction with you here in Cambridge and beyond. Let's join forces to improve public speaking, not only in Germany, but in Europe and the world. Thank you.